Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello, people, and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I hope you're well. I am recording this, and this episode will drop during a hideous heat wave. And I say hideous, I actually really love the sun when I'm on holiday. What I do not love about the sun is when it is baking into where I sit during the day and I cannot sleep at night. I mean, it's bad enough regulating one's temperature in perimenopause as it is without having like 35 degree plus heat beaming down on you. For all my listeners in other countries where you are well used to this, we're just really crap at it in the UK. Our houses are built to hold in the heat. So if you are listening to this feeling slightly sweltering, I hear you. And also, full disclosure, I have had to move where I record today to my son's bedroom. Now, I am surrounded by all his stuff, but it is cool. It is the only like north-facing bedroom in the house, so I'm just sort of hiding in here for now, but it's not the most glamorous of recording locations. Anyway, fortunately you can't see me. What I wanted to chat to you about today is something that's come up in quite a few conversations over the last few weeks, and actually it kind of underpins a lot of what I teach inside my programs. And I'm going to share with you something funny that happened to me the other week that actually made me think, oh good God, I am actually not doing this myself. Because I'll be honest, and that is what this podcast is, Honestly Carly, we don't get it right all the time. Even those of us that know better, we need to be in this constant state of evaluation. And I say that not as like, you're probably eye rolling thinking, Christ, how many more things do I need to juggle? I can barely like manage just making sure we have enough milk in the fridge. But when you are exercising, when you are doing your workouts, your runs, whatever that looks like for you, I want you to have this in the back of your mind as a thought, because it's going to massively help to keep you on track. And it's so simple, it doesn't cost anything. What I want to talk to you about is intelligent intensity. Now, some of you will have downloaded my freebie. I'm going to put the link to this in the show notes if you don't have it already. It is called the Training Tweak Guide. And this is where we start to go into this in a little more depth. And I'm going to briefly explain what it is when we talk about intelligent intensity, but that is what the Training Tweak Guide is all about. So if you're thinking, oh gosh, I really want to sort of get a hand on how this applies to me and a little bit more of the background, brilliant. The Training Tweak Guide is what you need, but I'm going to mention that no more until the end of the episode, because this is not just me trying to get you to download my stuff, although it is there to help you. So when we start to look at our training in midlife, there are several confounding factors which are at play. Now, when we're sort of ticking along nicely in our 20s, our 30s perhaps, we have this lovely steady supply, or rather it peaks and troughs every month, of our estrogen and our progesterone. And also testosterone is there in the background as well. So our monthly cycle actually really supports us in terms of improving our musculature, improving our strength, keeping our training going, really. And I'm not talking about cycle syncing here, which is something else altogether. And I think for the most part, just go with how you feel, which is what I'm going to encourage you to do. But what I am going to say is, when those hormones start to go haywire as we head through the perimenopause process and then further into the menopause and postmenopause, so when your periods have stopped, we experience this drop off of those hormones. So they start going a bit crazy up and down and all over the shop during peri, and then post we've got this lower level overall. And what estrogen does for us is it is very much a steroid hormone which encourages growth and maintenance of those tissues. We have each estrogen receptors all over our bodies which help us really get maximum bang for our buck from our training. Okay, testosterone is very similar. All right, that's often why men find it very much easier to build muscle, is because they have this much higher rate of, level of testosterone. Okay, it's a growth hormone. And progesterone does something slightly different. So that, if you think about it as being a more restful, calming hormone, that really helps with our recovery. Okay, so just have those I'm very much oversimplifying here about the endocrine system and the role that our sex hormones have to play. But if you just keep that in mind, they're supporting you. Okay, now, midlife hits. What happens is we don't have those hormones in the same lovely juicy supply. So a couple of things happen. Firstly, it just becomes harder for us to keep that muscle on our bodies in the same way as we have done. Now, this is not just down to our hormones at play here. Midlife, if you look at kind of activity levels throughout midlife, they tend to drop off. And it isn't just because our hormones are dwindling. It's because life is so fucking hectic, quite honestly. We have so many things going on. We're often more sedentary. Now, I know I've done a whole podcast episode on this, but essentially, if we're not using that muscle, then we are losing it. Okay, we need to really get as much muscle on our bodies as we can in midlife. Coupled with that, we are just quite stressed out, which means we can get this sort of chronically elevated cortisol. Cortisol is not a bad hormone of itself. Please don't listen to, there's so many like hacks for reducing your cortisol. Oh, we need to quash the cortisol. We don't. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be living if we didn't have cortisol. But we do need to keep it in check. And one thing that estrogen does is it keeps cortisol in check. Okay, so we've got this sort of perfect storm of our hormonal profile and our lifestyle probably not really supporting us as well as it used to. And what I see are women coming to work with me. Now, the vast majority of women that come to work with me are not beginners. Okay, some are, but the vast, vast majority, and they're game. You know, the ones that are beginners, they're like, right, Carly, I want you to sort all this shit out for me. And I'm like, okay, fine. And we can do that together. But the vast, vast majority have been exercising for years, okay? I talk a lot about running here because I have lots of links back to the running community. I've run for many, many years myself, and I get it, right? But whichever sport, whichever discipline they've come from, whatever their bag has been, these are active women. And they've always found that they get results from their workouts. That's kept them coming back. You know, they felt really energized from their exercise program. They've noticed changes in their bodies, or at least their bodies haven't been getting worse. Okay. And suddenly, it seems almost overnight, we're noticing these changes. Now, this could be a drop off in energy. You're like, oh my God, I used to run this 5K block or go out for my run with my running group once a week. And I used to feel really great afterwards. We used to go for coffee afterwards and I'd feel incredible. I'm really happy, pleased that I'd accomplished it. And now I'm like at the back of the pack. I feel like I'm holding everyone up. Oh my gosh, can I just say that is such a common thing that I get in my DMs, women saying, oh, I just feel like I'm holding everyone back because I'm achy and sore and slow and everything else these days. And it didn't used to be like that. And I tell you now, I get it. I was that woman, right? I totally resonate with this. You are not alone, okay? But your body is trying to do something here. And we need to zone in with that. So I'm going to park that point for now, but feel seen, people, right? Now, there's this drop off in energy. There is this uptick in niggles, aches, pains, weird things. You know, typically it is things like itchy knees, a bit of plantar fasciitis, maybe the odd frozen shoulder. Is this sounding familiar, my friends? If it is, you're not alone. And things that you just can't seem to get on top of, you might find yourself spending, you know, multiple pounds, hundreds of pounds on physio appointments, trying to get it sorted, going to see the chiropractor. You know, this is the sort of thing I get from women when they come and find me. Not only that, we notice that weight creeping on. Now, I have done a load in my social media, if you follow me on Instagram, over the last few weeks about my perimenopausal program and talking about shape changes around our middles, because we can try and say it doesn't really matter. And actually, you know, you may be thinking, I don't even want to lose weight, but I just don't like the fact that I've got my summer wardrobe out and none of my shorts do up, right? I hear you, sister. This is a thing. And this is something that happens. I've got whole episodes on this. If you go back through the back catalogue, all about our shape changes in midlife. But it drags you down, right? It drags you down. And again, this is usually hormonally driven, all right? So what we do is what we've always done, which is we just dial into more of the same. Okay, we think, well, actually, do you know what? I've only been getting to one Pilates a week and I could probably do two. So I'm going to add an extra one in there because that's always made me feel firmer around the middle before. Or you think to yourself, well, I'm going to come back to running again. But you think, well, actually, I probably could run a bit more. And, you know, running's going to burn lots of calories. And that's always kept me in my weight in check before. I've been able to eat whatever I want when I've been running a lot. So I'm going to add in another run a week. All right. And this is so familiar and it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, we think We're going to burn more calories. We're going to expend more energy, which means we're going to lose that bit of weight. You know, previously we felt fabulous doing Pilates twice a week. We felt really stretched out and all our muscles felt really strong. So why wouldn't it make more sense for us to just add in those extra workouts? Or the classic, and I really, if this is you, I really want you to go and listen to one of my earlier episodes with Danielle Garfoot, who is my go-to woman for all things injury related about stretching, right? But quite often people will come to me and go, I feel really glitchy. I've got this injury. It's because I haven't stretched enough. Now, I'm not going to go into Danielle's work here. Go back and listen to that podcast episode. But trust me, my friend, it ain't because you haven't been stretching. Okay. So let's just knock that one on the head. So you might be listening to this thinking, oh my God, you've just told me that what am I meant to do then? I can't run more to lose that weight. Okay. I can't stretch more to stop all the aches and pains. And I can't do more classes or Pilates to feel firmer around my middle. So what the bleeding heck am I meant to do? And trust me, I got to this point as well. Now, full disclosure, you know, when I hit my perimenopause years, I had been a PT for about 8 years. And at that point, I was running ultra marathons. So the year that it all kind of hit home for me was the year that I turned 40. And that summer, I ran a 54 mile ultra marathon. You know, I was doing a lot of the things that had always worked, like on steroids version. You know, I was like really going for it. Now, what this did was it left me absolutely hooned, absolutely shattered. I remember going for one 10K training run and literally feeling like I was having an out of body mid circuit. I was like, I feel really weird, really floaty. What's going on here? I found myself awake in the night with night sweats that were just horrendous. I mean, obviously talking night sweats in a heat wave, but isn't it just the worst, my friends, those night sweats? And you just have to get up and, like, without you share a bed with a partner, like quietly changing the sheet on your side, putting towels down, finding your clean PJs. It's just the pits. My hormones were all over the shop, essentially, and my training wasn't helping me. So what I did was I went back to basics and I just literally imbibed absolutely everything I could about female physiology in this period of life. I also chatted to lots of other experts. I really broadened my network in terms of the people I was talking to and having these conversations with. And I used myself as a bit of a guinea pig. So the sort of three-pronged attack, really, listening to other people talk, using myself as a guinea pig, and just literally course and learning and seminar and podcasts and everything I could, and science papers coming out of my eyeballs, because I wanted to get to the bottom of what was going on. And I wanted to, more than anything, I didn't just want to learn. I wanted to actually sort myself out. And I knew if I could sort myself out, I'd be able to sort out other women as well, which is what I now do, what I pivoted my whole business premise to do. So this is where I want you to dial in and think, because are you just doing more of the same? If you are just adding in more of the same, or you are literally hovering over booking another term of classes of more of the same, I want you to pause and evaluate. Because if you are doing everything at the same intensity, at the same level you always have, nothing is going to move, my friends. Things are not going to get any better. The cost of this to you is that things are going to get worse. And take this from somebody who has tried that, right? And I've seen literally probably hundreds of women now who have tried that before they get to me, and they're like, nothing's working. This is the worst thing about midlife. Nobody tells you nothing's going to work. I used to be able to add in an extra run a week. I would lose a few pounds. You know, I used to be able to pick up another class at the gym. I would start to feel more toned, right? Doesn't work. Does not work unless we are doing this at the very outset. And that is creating some light and shade. Now, what do I mean by this? What the bloody hell are you talking about, Corrigal? Well, what we need to do is to get in some properly hard effort, which is going to give your body that strong training nudge that it needs to level up and frankly pull itself together and really start to improve. And we also need, and this is where so many of the women I work with struggle, to put in some genuinely easy stuff. Okay, really, truly easy, because what happens, we get stuck in this mid-zone trap where we are doing everything at this sort of level, which is kind of just about manageable, right? It's neither hard, like you would not consider it hard, but it's definitely not easy breezy. And so the body just gets overtired. It isn't getting that strong training stimulus that it needs. I'm going to repeat it again for those at the back. You need that because your hormones are no longer plugging that gap and time is precious. So you want maximum bang for your buck, and we're not getting that recovery in. So your body's just really stretched thinly, and it just doubles down on what it's already doing, goes, well, I'm not changing. You end up in this Mexican standoff with your own body. So that is my task for you this week, is to assess your workouts. Where do they sit on that continuum? Do you have a differentiation between the hard stuff, and I'm going to come on to what is hard in a moment, and the stuff that is easy? And if you don't, well, then we need some contrast in there. We don't just need more of the samey same sames, because that does not work. Okay, right. So what do we mean by hard? Now, this is a really interesting one. I want to mention the concept here of minimum effective dose, because that, and if you've heard me say this before in previous podcast episodes, you're not imagining it, that is the key. So what we want to do in midlife, because we have got all this extraneous stress, you know, some of you I know have had kids doing GCSEs and A-levels, some of you are looking after parents that are aging poorly, etc. You're supporting friends going through relationship breakups, all the midlife shizzle. Oh, careers. I mean, I haven't even touched on careers, the fact that we are trying to push ahead, lots of us in work. There are so many different things going on. You haven't got, like, you're not trying to optimize your life to the extent that you have got all day, every day to just think about your morning routine, like, as you know, those sort of 3-hour routines that the Instagrammers apparently post. I mean, I'm not on, I don't really look at these, but I gather there are those people that are up at 5, spending 3 hours getting ready for the day. You know, you're not Stephen Bartlett. Sorry, but you're not. You didn't want to be anyway, did you? But my point being, we're not trying to optimize everything here. We have limited time and limited resources, and particularly limited energy within ourselves. So we need to allocate it carefully. And the minimum effective dose is what's the bare minimum we can do that is going to be effective for us. It's going to bring about that change in your body. This is not about doing the bare minimum. Notice that I use the words bare minimum. I don't mean just sacking it all off. And I know none of you think that, because you wouldn't be listening, right? If you're looking for the easy way out, the soft option, the, oh, just sack it all off and sit on your sofa, I'm clearly not your girl. So jog on, skiff on. This is not for you. I'm not talking about that. The women who come to work with me want to work hard, but they just want to get some bang for their buck. They just want to feel like it's doing something. There is nothing more frustrating than feeling like you are not, you know, getting the result you want for the effort you're putting in. I want the two to match. So we find this minimum effective dose, and that is going to look different for everybody. And you're just going to have to tune in to how your body feels. I do this in all of my classes, by the way, inside Train with Carly. We tune in at the start, sometimes during, and at the end. How are you feeling? Okay. And surefire signs that you are missing out here is that your body is almost plateauing or getting worse. You know, you might be experiencing that weight gain, particularly around the middle, the niggles, the energy is very low. All of those are signs that this is out of whack. And usually it's that mid zone, that we are just doing too much in that mid zone. When you start to dial up one or two of those workouts across your week to hard level, which I'm going to come on to, how do we know it's hard? That's where the magic happens. And then we just take a few of those workouts down to the really easy level. Okay, now, what does hard look like? Well, this is quite subjective, but you might think about it where your brain is literally going, are we doing this? This is top whack. You know, where you could only utter, I say this in classes as well, where you could only chuck out a couple of swear words. Full sentences are not an option. Where you have sweaty eyebrows. Okay. This isn't, I'm not talking about the kind of workout where you could shower before and then go into the office without having had another shower. That is not sufficiently hard, my friends. We need to push it. But the great thing about this minimum effective dose is it's so finite. You know, when I'm teaching HIIT, we're working for literally 20 seconds at a time. Okay. Classes are 30 minutes. You don't need to be in the gym for an hour doing this stuff. You don't need to be out running for an hour. We're talking short, sharp intervals, okay? But it needs to feel hard. Now, my funny story was a couple of weeks ago. Now, I obviously practice this intelligent intensity. This is my thing. This is my framework, right? A couple of weeks ago, I booked to go and have my nails done in town. Town is about a mile and a half from my house to the salon where I go and get my nails done. And in my head, I had it that my appointment was at 11:30. So I thought, brilliant, I'm going to actually run down there today because it was not boiling hot. And I thought, this will save me the parking. Faff, it'll get me some steps in. I can get a little bit of training. Very good, right? It got to 11:05. And I was like, right, okay, I'm going to leave. And for some reason, I don't know what made me check, but I thought I'll just check my appointment confirmation. Bloody hell, the appointment was at 11:15. So I had 10 minutes to get myself to this appointment and I hadn't even been to the loo, right? I needed a wee all morning and I hadn't been. And I was like, oh God, I've got to go. So quickly went to the loo, threw my trainers on. And I thought, right, okay, can we do this? So I'd given myself no time at all to get there. I did try and call the salon and say, I'm really sorry. I might be 5 or 10 minutes late because though I had no options at this point. I feel really bad. I hate being late, by the way. Side note, I don't know if you feel me on this, but I'm mortified at being late. I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm like, oh my God, I'm keeping them waiting. I tried to phone, couldn't get through. You know, I got the answer phone. I thought I could leave a message, but I'm not going to anyway. Laced up my trainers and oh my God, when the stakes were high, I was like, I'm going to get there in time. And I raced. I really raced. And admittedly, this is a longer interval. I'm not recommending anyone do like mile reps for their short sharp. I mean, you could do, but that is a hardcore. Don't go in on day one with a mile rep, right? I absolutely caned it to this appointment and I was 2 minutes late. That's it. And that included the little walk up the high street because I didn't want to look like a total loon mid-morning on a Friday sprinting past people and wife like really sweaty for my appointment. And I did it and it made me think, do you know what? You are probably coasting a little bit in some of these workouts and some of these runs. When you really need to, you can push it. So my friends, I mean, totally first world problems, right? But that is that late for the nail appointment vibe that I want you to really embody when you are pushing hard. And I want you to really be honest with yourself, evaluate how you're feeling. Could you go a little bit harder? I say this in classes. Sorry, I know loads of people who come to train with Kylie classes hear me say this all the time. My mum says this, you're only cheating yourself. I don't give a shit if you're not working hard enough, frankly. I mean, I do because I want you to get the most out of your workouts, but it's down to you, right? Work as hard as you can, okay? You don't need to kill yourself with every session though. This is where the contrast comes in. So we pepper in one, maybe two of these across the week, okay? The super hard stuff, little bursts, right? Come to my classes, I will show you what I mean. Then we need to put in the easy breezy stuff. And that needs to be truly easy. And this is where a lot of you, particularly, I'm going to come back to runners again, but you go on cadence lock here. You literally go at the same pace for every run. And you think your easy pace might be, I don't know, 10 minutes a mile, right? I had this with a client about a year ago and she was like, I cannot, is this my easy pace? It didn't feel very good. And I looked at it and I was like, I think you can go slower. And she was like, oh, really? And she could. And eventually, I mean, we nailed it. And she was like, I feel like I could run for days at this pace. But it might not be your easy pace that you have in your head because you might be holding on to a pace from 5, 10 years ago. Don't, right? We need to make it nice and easy. Likewise, if you're always going to a Pilates or a yoga class and you're classing that as your easy work, is it truly easy? Okay. Or are you getting a little bit of a sweat on, right? If it's lovely yin, sound bath, you know, beautiful. That is your easy, my friend. Going for a lovely little stroll, not a power walk. You know, we need to have that contrast in there. And when we start to polarize with intelligent intensity, we get the hard stuff and then the easy stuff. It all comes together. I promise you, you've got to trust it and you've got to give it a few months. This shit doesn't happen overnight, right? Because the body needs to get that signal that it's going to start to respond. And when we put everything around that, it's not just, you know, one and done. This is why otherwise I'd just be like, here's my freebie, take it with you into the world and prosper. No, this is why, you know, I have lots of different frameworks and lots of different levers we can pull. But this is probably the simplest and where I would start with anyone. If I followed you around for a day and was like, right, what workout's she doing? I bet you 9 times out of 10, I'd be like, well, that's too hard. That's not hard enough. Do you see what I mean? Right. Imagine me on your shoulder. Imagine me on your shoulder going, could you only throw a swear word at me? Could you at this point? Are we talking in full sentences? And if your response is shut up, Carly, then I know you're not working hard enough, my friends. In all seriousness, this is the big rock for most people. And a lot of it's ego. We are tied up with our metrics. People often say, well, should I be working out in a certain zone? You know, my heart rate monitor on my watch is telling me that I'm working out in this zone. Bollocks to the heart rate monitors, my friends. Scrap them. They mean nothing, right? The data is so inaccurate. Literally, heart rate through something that isn't a chest strap is so inaccurate. I did a run the other day and I was honestly sweating out of my eyeballs. I was so hot, so hot, working so hard, and it had me at like 140 BPM, which is like, you know, nowhere near my max heart rate. And I was like, that is absolute nonsense. Literally, it was a joke. So please don't look at the heart rate. I mean, it's useful maybe afterwards. You're like, oh, that's interesting. What did it say? Even with a heart rate monitor, go with how you feel. Always go with how you feel. And you want to keep that hard stuff at least an 8 out of 10. Okay. We don't necessarily need to be going 10 out of 10. You might find you feel a bit vomitous afterwards if you do. But 8 out of 10 is perfect there, okay? And then keep those easy ones, like below a 3, really. I would look at that. And it really does start to make a difference over time when you do this, because you find actually, when you're only doing the hard work for very short periods of time and you know when they're going to be, you can gear up for them. You can really make sure that you feel well, because that's got to be a part of it as well. You can look at your overall stress on that day to make sure you're not overloading yourself. And you can really give it your all. So you're like, yes, I've truly banked that session. I talk about training with my clients as being like putting bricks in a wall. Okay. Every good quality training session you do is another brick in the wall of your fitness, of your strength, of getting to the where you want to be, right? So you know you're banking that every time you're putting that brick in, okay? And then when you layer on the recovery, think of that like the mortar in the wall. It's kind of the glue that holds everything together, those easy workouts when you're not taxing the body, but you're still going to get those mental health benefits, because hopefully, you know, it might be something like a walk or a run or a cycle or a swim. I mean, Lido swimming at this time of the year, heavenly, right? A little bob about. You're thinking about that being like a nice switch off stuff that lets your body kind of recover, but it's active and it lets your tissues recuperate, everything bounce back, you get that balance back in, the cortisol starts to come down. Okay, it really makes a difference. I cannot hammer this home enough. Intelligent intensity is where it's at. Do not get into the trap of mid-zone. It's really crucial. Now, I'm going to address a question that comes up a lot with women when they come to work with me. Maybe they step inside like my reboot. So the reboot is a more expansive program, shall we say, than doing Train with Carly classes. So this is where we start to look at everything you're doing in your world. So we start to put together what I call an exercise prescription. So your own bespoke training plan. And often clients will come into that. And as I say, they're women who are really into their exercise. They often love a challenge, so they might be training for something like a HYROX or a marathon or a triathlon, right? I've got clients who are doing Ironman, right? We look at this and they go, shit, I have to be doing quite a lot in this mid-zone, because the nature of the beast with these exercises that I'm doing, this training, this event that I'm working towards, is that I'm going to be doing a sustained medium effort for quite a long period of time. Okay? My friend, we don't panic about this. We see our annual calendar in seasons. and this is just one season. Okay, so if you're training for a half marathon, if you've got an autumn half marathon and you're listening to this and you're like, oh, bloody hell, I'm going to have to put in some medium effort runs, some 10Ks, you know, some 15Ks at that medium effort, right? Don't worry about it. We just acknowledge that you might feel a bit tired. You might feel a bit niggly. You know, you might still hold on to that bit of weight around your middle that you'd really like to shift. That's life. Okay, we can't do all things. But you're going to get a lot out of doing that event. I put in my own half marathon story earlier this year. Actually, that's another podcast episode you might want to go back and listen to, where I just did loads in the mid zone and then was surprised that, you know, my body went a bit haywire. But then we just look at it with this compassionate curiosity and we go, well, that's really interesting that that's what my training did for me. And then that makes you kind of want to dial into the polarization to this intelligent intensity when you finished. What I would advise you maybe to think about is back-to-backing events. And I have clients who are, you know, absolutely adore, and I used to be like this, a bit addicted to the challenges, okay? But you need some rest periods throughout your year. You need some periods where you're just dialing into what works with your body as it is now, okay? And maybe that is something that we need to think about. Maybe we don't back-to-back-to-back loads of medium intensity endurance work throughout the year. I'm not saying don't chase your goals, because that's really important, but it's always a weighing up. Okay, if it's more important to you to go and chase those goals and you can live with the sort of consequences of a body that's maybe not feeling on top line, I'm never going to tell you not to do that. That is about you. But maybe, like me, you land at a space where you're like, yeah, I want to take on a goal, a challenge every now and again. I want it to be feel really worth it. And I'm prepared to take the consequences of feeling a little bit off. Okay. So just have that little thought in the back of your mind there, if that was something you were considering as we were going through. My friends, I have rabbited on about this, but I have so much to say on this topic, because as I said, it comes up so often and it is a real ding light bulb moment when the women who come to work with me start actually analysing what we're doing. So where do we go from here? Well, if you want to dial into this a little bit more, then you can absolutely grab my freebie, which is the training tweak guide. And I'll pop the link to that, as I said, in the show notes, and we take it from there. Otherwise, I love your messages on Instagram. Come and check in with me there. I'm at Carly Corrigal. Again, link is in the show notes. It's so good to hear that you are taking stuff from this. And if you want to chat back and forth, always fabulous. And if you would love to work with me, I can also help you find the best place for you to start. Right, I'm off to get an iced latte and try and cool off. Have a cracking week, my friends. Stay cool. Oh, and before I disappear, one little heads up. Honestly, Carly is going to be taking a short break for the next couple of weeks while I spend a little bit of time on my holidays, get me. Don't worry though, I've already got plenty more episodes lined up. You know me, I'm super organised, and I will be back with a brand new one on the 23rd of July. So in the meantime, if you've missed any previous episodes, now is the perfect chance to catch up. There are nearly 40 now to choose from, covering everything from strength training and running to hormones, nutrition, sleep, stress, all the weird and wonderful things midlife likes to throw at us. Have a brilliant couple of weeks, my friends. Please look after yourselves, and I will see you back here very, very soon. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.